Liam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jay. Just before we start, can I just raise a bit of a grievance?
Sure.
Just something that's been bugging.
Here we go.
Something that's been bugging me. No, it's only something small. It's only something small.
What?
For listeners, before we start recording an episode, yes. Producer Sam, that's yes. Daddy producer, not stepdaddy producer. He's yep. the one well kept. He will come over and just say a few ground rules.
Yep.
Talking to the microphone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of a second one then. But basically, the two are talking to the microphone and don't bang on the table.
Yeah.
Jake follows that every single time with...
Well, we've only just met the guest.
Yeah, every single time.
No banging on the table. I've only just met him.
Every single time. It was funny-ish on episode one.
Mate.
It was nauseating by episode two.
No. I'm going to fight back on this. I think there is a beauty to those sort of routine jokes. If I hear a car horn go off
yeah.
and I want to say, oh, pardon me, I think there is a joy to that that will never, never, never end.
Well, what have you got?
There is quite a dad one of if you hear a siren, just grabbing your kid's neck and being yeah. like, he's over here, come on, yeah. I've got him.
I think a bit of a modern one, you know, on a train when the British Transport Police say, if you see something that doesn't look quite right, turn it to your mate. pointing at your mate. If you see something that doesn't look quite right, please report it. Oh, something that doesn't look quite right sat next to me.
Quite a bad one is if someone says something like, do you want a packet of crisps? I'll say, what did you call me?
Yeah,
you that is that one, is that's a risky one, and I would advise you not to do it.
Yeah,
but I might continue to do it on certain occasions.
That's fair. I feel like I can't have an opinion. that's your prerogative.
Well, I promise you, I won't do the racially charged one with our next guest, but I probably will do the banging on the table because he's a writer. He's going to love this stuff. It's Matthew Crosby. I'm excited about Matthew Crosby. He's a comedy polymath.
Yeah, he's also a presenter host on my favourite radio station, Radio X.
Wow.
That's like a cool radio station, isn't it?
Well, according to most middle-aged dads, yes, I think it is. I think you're bang on,
the
buddy.
The cool radio station. Him and Ed Gamble have a show, don't they? Yeah, and he is a proper bloke in comedy.
I think most men with mortgages would agree with you.
Yeah.
It is the coolest radio station out there. he's a very cool guy as well. I'm excited to meet him. Should we go over to the pub?
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him. Joining our pub quiz team this week is not only a brilliant comedian, but the writer behind many other brilliant comedians. He's a regular feature on the radio and is a member of the legendary sketch group Pappies. It's Matthew Crosby.
Matthew, thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to add to that intro, our first and only guest to ask ahead of time if there's parking. Which I think is a lovely little detail.
Am I by any chance your oldest guest?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, I don't think so. I don't think
you
so.
Read in between the lines.
I don't yeah. think so. I don't am think I, at all.
Do other, you know, do other guests show up with two baby seats in the car? I've got to have on-street parking.
I'll be honest,
guys.
Some guests just don't show up.
Oh, well, there we go. No.
We've had guests show up... We have had guests show up who have driven, but we've also on the other side of that we've had guests who've shown up and said, "Sorry, I need to blow my nose because it was such a big night last night."
Oh,
that was
that
was a hell of a start to the party.
Yeah. Which I mean,
I think the baby seats makes us
not
feel a lot
to
more
say you can't have kids.
Yeah, of course,
and also you know enjoy the baby powder. Yeah. This is that's not for me. It's not my life. I've driven here. Be mad if I was gacked off my tits, wouldn't it? By the way, is there off-street parking? Would you mind if I did a big fat line off the bonnet? Is that all right?
What would be a bit damning, though, is if that guest ends up with a better score in the quiz than you get.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
There's a bit of pressure now to come in and get
performance in heart. I need the ticket just to roll up one of those. That'd be ideal.
Are you much of a quizzer, Matthew?
I'm glad you asked quizzer there, yeah. Are you much of a caner? Am I much of a quizzer? I used to quiz a lot. I used to be really into the pub quiz. In fact, we did the pub quizzes in like my local area of like Crystal Palace so much that we'd often see the same quizzes show up in different pubs with the same quiz they did. You know, so you go, oh, great, there's a pub quiz on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. You get them on the Wednesday, you're like, oh, it's Tuesday's quiz. It's the same guy.
At which point did you sort of say, guys, let's hold our hands up. We know the answers here. We'll have a quiet pint in the corner. Or did you say, this is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame.
We're not going to sort it out now, but, you know, see what happens.
Be shouting out the questions before you... Yeah. No. We obviously waited until Thursday's pub quiz.
Shouting out questions for a quizmaster who's already done it is quite funny. As if it's sort of like a gig.
Yeah.
Sort of like, oh, they know this one, do they? Oh, so it's one of my favourites.
a friend of mine, though, was when he was doing, they used to do this thing at the Comedy Zone, at the cabaret bar in Edinburgh called the Comedy Zone, right? Mm-hmm. And he was doing the Comedy Zone, and somebody, it was like a mixed bill show, 11 o'clock at night, with a bunch of comics who've been going about 6 months each, so none of them had the chops to do these kind of late night gigs. And someone hated him so much that he came the next night to shout all of his punchlines just a second before he got to them. So he's just, he hated this guy's comedy so much that he was like, I'm coming back tomorrow night and I'm going to ruin your set. Because listen, you ruined my night, I'm going to ruin your night.
Was it like offensive comedy or was it?
He just thought he was rubbish.
I'm just offended at how rubbish.
I just think you're rubbish and I've clearly got a bit of money to throw around.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wild.
That is insane.
That's brutal.
Yeah. I'm going to let you into a little secret. I know that Matthew Crosby is going to be good at this.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, I've actually worked with Matthew Crosby when I worked at TV on The Last Leg.
Right.
Maybe some other stuff. But I know you're just one of those people who knows a bit about everything. I think you can't write on The Last Leg and not know a bit about everything.
Yeah, but you're only ever writing about that week's news, and it's very accessible.
But after 14 years, that is a bit about everything, really, isn't it?
Oh no! As soon as I've written it, gone. It's out the head.
It's a weird thing how disposable it is. You spend a week on stuff, and then bang, gone. See you later.
Never think about it ever again. So I'm actually I'm always smart in the moment, thick in sort of general terms.
Sure.
Yeah.
What a line.
Yeah. And if you can work out what I meant by it, you're even smarter than I am.
What sort of general or specific subjects do you think you could be bringing to this?
Oh, God. I mean, you hate to say I'm really good on music and then every question you get wrong. So I feel like that's a trick question.
I would love for that to happen to
us. I'm really good on music.
Yeah, and then everything goes wrong.
Any particular music? Any era of music? That
bit of everything, really?
Yeah, just a topical songs. That's what I meant to. I really.
Any bit of come out this week? Those novelty songs that reach the sort of like top five.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob the Builder, Mr. Blobby, fast food rockers,
Chaz and Dave.
You know what? Yeah, absolutely. A bit of Jive Bunny. Love a bit of that. Jive Bunny's probably before your time, isn't it? Do you remember Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers? Mm-hmm. Jive Bunny was a cartoon bunny who would get a bunch of old songs from the 50s and 60s and chop them together and make them into like a new song.
Sounds bloody brilliant.
It was great. Yeah.
Would do well on TikTok now.
Yeah.
I think we'd do really well.
Let's bring back Jive Bunny.
Yeah.
We like to ask our guest the most interesting fact that they know, something they may have heard recently, something that they always pull out at parties. Have you got something for us?
Yes. I'm reading a book about the Beatles at the moment, right?
It's on brand.
And I think it does feel on brand for me, doesn't it? And this is the fact I'm currently boring people with, right? Yeah. Every time, you know when you're halfway through telling something, by the way, it's a fact that's like got bits to it.
Okay.
So it's not just one thing. You're halfway through and you can see the glazing over in the eyes of the person you're telling it to. So I'll see who glazes over first. Yeah, out of the two of you. So you know, the Beatles released an album called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. There was a song on it called She's Leaving Home. It was inspired by an article that Paul McCartney read about a girl who had run away from home. That was how rarely it was happening back in 1967, the Daily Mail were writing articles about it. So he was like, he was inspired. He was like, great, I'll write this song, and it's a brilliant song. And then in the 90s, it was discovered that Paul McCartney had met the girl. He'd met her like 3 years earlier when he judged a Brenda Lee lookalike competition on telly. So she'd come first in this competition. He shook her hand. They'd never seen each other again. And no one had made the connection until years later.
Wow, that is really
good.
Sorry,
was it before she ran away?
Yeah. So the chronology is she enters the competition.
Yeah.
A bit later, she runs away. About 3 years later, she runs away from home. Paul reads the article, writes the song. Song gets released. Like 30 years later, someone goes, oh, this girl from this song is...
That is really good.
Do you know what I think's mad in that? The fact that Paul McCartney was judging lookalike competitions.
Is he still doing that as a bit of a side hustle now?
I think he still does. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, this would have been when the Beatles were like... The reason the Beatles were so famous because they were on the telly all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they would pop up on the Morecambe and Wise show. I think because we think of the Beatles as being this, like... this sort of hallowed, untouchable thing. Mm. They were on the telly all the... You know, they would be doing jukebox jewellery and stuff like that.
They were McFly.
They were McFly. Exactly, they were McFly. Yeah.
I hope when he met her the first time, that wasn't when he wrote that line, she was just 17, you know what I mean.
Oh,
that would have been horrible.
That would have been horrible. A lot of their... I mean, to be fair, when he wrote that, he was probably about 21. So, you know...
I
don't think that's a terrible window.
No.
We are picturing Paul McCartney, the guy who just had like Glastonbury a year ago, who's 80. Yeah. To be fair, he's not redressed it. He's not gone age appropriate, you know.
He could change it to 70 now, couldn't he?
Yeah.
And it would still be all right, Paul, fucking hell, she's a bit young. She was just 70, you know what I mean?
Chill out, you're 83, mate. Still a 30, apparently that's a worse age gap than before.
What's her dad saying about this, Paul?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not around. There's a reason she's leaving home to get away from you.
Lovely fact, you did not disappoint at all. Which means, actually, I think the pressure's off in terms of team name. It could be shit now, and we'd still be happy with that.
Okay.
What do you think we should be called for today?
Well, I didn't know whether or not to make it largely about me or about the three of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought we could be Squiddy, Quizzer, and the Croz.
Sure.
Right? Because that feels it feels like there's...
That's really nice, actually.
It feels like that's all of us. Or if you want to be a bit more solipsistic, we could just be Matthew Quisby. So I'll... now I don't want to, I don't want to put myself forward as just the main front man.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to go.
You
with
say
the team.
That, but in the first one, you slyly have because you're the only one with the at the start of their name. It's Squiddy, Quizzy, and the Croz.
The Croz, yeah.
We can just be bungled.
The Croz
anyway,
is such an insight into UA14. Yeah. Being like, can I get this going at school? Do you think they'll go for it?
Will they call me the Croz?
Just thinking, maybe call me the Croz.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Oh man, that's such a hard decision.
Getting the Croz sewn into the back of you.
Absolutely,
Making sure everyone can see it. Sorry, is my label hanging out?
My vote might be Matthew Crosby. Yeah. I just think it's Matthew Quisby. Sorry.
Yeah. Call it Matthew Crosby.
That's just writing your name at the top of his hand.
So when you send out the email to people, the briefing will be like, oh yeah, we had like Quiz in my pants, all this kind of. Oh, we had one of them seems called Matthew Crosby. Who was that? Weirdly, it wasn't Matthew Crosby.
It was Will Best.
Yeah, just a big fan.
I quite like that.
Matthew Quisby is lovely.
Hey, should we find out who our quizmaster is?
Please.
This week? So, we get a genuine pub quiz sent in from a UK quizmaster, and our quizmaster this week is Tim from the Salcombe Brewery Tap House in South Devon. So, a bit of a West Country quizzer here, and he does his quiz. He is due to start his Quizmaster stint soon. So this is like
He's not made his debut yet.
He's sort of come up through the Youth Academy. This is a preview. Think of it as a bit of a trial run for him. And be sure to drop us a message to him when you do start.
Yeah, definitely.
We can let you know when you could. It's interesting that he's got a venue for where he's doing his quiz.
Yeah.
But they've not let him start yet.
Salcombe Brewery Tap House in South Devon. I think that this is a new cool craft beer place.
Really?
And I think that it's just opened in Salcombe. And he's been brought in to sort of like just drum up a little bit of excitement.
So I reckon the pub's opening soon. So anyone based in Salcombe, keep your eye out for the...
I think there's a lot of corduroy shirts. There's a lot of flat peak caps.
Salcombe Brewery Tap House sounds like two people. Someone wanted to call it Salcombe Brewery and someone wanted to call it a tap house. And they couldn't quite work out what they were going to do. So maybe it's still undecided. There should be a slash in the middle.
Maybe that's what they need to do for Devon because, you know, you've got to ease in the old... I don't know if you've ever...
Ease in an old man.
You've got to ease in the old men. As you've done very nicely for me, thank you so much for providing me with on-street parking. But I think sometimes when a pub becomes like, when Antic takes over a pub and they turn an old man pub into an Antic pub, the old men often refuse to leave. And so you've got to cater to them.
Yeah.
So I think the first bit's catering to the old men.
Yeah.
The tap house is bringing in the young bucks.
Yeah.
But what do you call it? Because every pub needs a shorthand. The Rose, like, it might be called the Angler's Arms, but you go to the Angler's. It might be called the Dog and Bell.
It's not really quite anything there to...
I'm going to the tap house?
I'm going down the tap.
You're
down
the tap. Yeah, down maybe. The Brewers.
I'm going down the Sally Tap.
Yeah.
Well, look, Tim, best of luck for your first stint. Do let us know how it goes.
Yeah. We can get probably a bit of a preview as to how it's going to go.
My worry is, Tim, if it's your first one, this is going to be quite shit.
Let's give him a chance.
Sorry.
Yes, come on. Quizby rules.
So he's gone in. I'm quite excited by this setup. That he's this is his trial. This is his first go at doing.
Do we need to make sure this episode doesn't come out before his first night, because otherwise everyone who's heard this podcast can just go along like I did with the Tuesday Wednesday and romp home.
It'd be like Euro Crystal Palace.
Imagine if either of our listeners ended up going, that'd be crazy. Round one is Tim's general knowledge.
Just to pick up a £50 bar tab at the end of it. Cost more on the train to get here, really. It wasn't really worth it.
Based in Aberdeen. Yeah. General knowledge is Tim's first round. And Tim, I have noticed you have not put question marks at the end of your questions.
I've come in at you very early doors. You normally leave it for something to actually sort of substantial to have a go at you for.
Should we do the general knowledge round?
Yes, here we go.
See what it's gone for. So, question one. What is the collective noun for a group of owls? This is classic quiz question.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Collective noun.
I do know the answer.
Yep.
Crosby, do you know the answer to this one?
No, but I know that you do.
It's a parliament.
It is a parliament. Of owls. Yeah, that. Good. Yeah. A parliament of owls.
Okay, so question two. What are the five New York boroughs?
Okay.
Has anyone ever been to start with? Anyone been to New York?
I've been to New York, yeah. Now, I think Queens is one of them.
Queens.
We know it's definitely Queens. Brooklyn's another one.
The Bronx.
Is that what it is? That
it's
what
gotta
the Bronx
be the Bronx.
Is?
The Bronx is one.
How
is
it? It's a bit
one.
Like the Cros. How did Bronx? Can't we be the Queens and the Brooklyn? No. The Bronx is. And also, you don't want to fuck with.
I never thought the Venn diagram of Matthew Crosby and the Bronx would ever meet. Yeah. But it somehow has.
Bronx always sounds cool, doesn't it? From the Bronx.
I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah, it does. It really
something
does.
Cool about the Bronx.
No. Oh, well then Manhattan and New Jersey.
Manhattan and New Jersey. Yes.
Actually, no. I think New Jersey is a separate state. Manhattan's definitely one.
What do you think of them questions?
Oh,
we need to give five answers.
It's one of the islands. It's one of the islands.
What? It's Staten Island.
Staten Island. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
is it Staten Island? Staten Island. All right. Okay, we're going to Staten Island.
Question three. What was the name of the first dog in space?
Oh, I know this one.
Go on.
It's Laika.
Really?
Yeah. Laika, the first dog in space.
L-I-K-A?
L-I-A. Yeah, L-A-I-K.
And I'm presuming that dog died in space?
Yeah. And listen, even if it didn't, it would be dead by now. So I wouldn't... It died in space.
But any of those, like, when they say, oh, yeah, the first animal to go into space, the monkey went to space, they all died in space, right?
Yeah.
They all just, like, floated off into the abyss.
Sure. Yeah, or burnt
never
up.
Never thought about it. You never actually see... You don't see the footage of them landing and getting out and everyone applauding.
That's what you really want to see is a dog getting out, taking off a helmet, putting it under his arm and waving. That's really what you want. And there's no footage like that.
But he said there. It does.
A nice big bone waiting for him, yeah. But just off you go. Off you go, Laika.
This is one man's step for a big boy. Good boy, fuck!
Question number four. In which year was the first iPhone launched? I think we've had a question similar to this before.
We've had iPod, and I think that was 2001-ish.
Was it 2007, the first iPhone?
That sounds about right.
I'm just trying to think of what I was up to in 2007. What was I talking into?
What were you doing in 2007?
I'm just trying to picture my periphery when I've got it held up to my ear.
What was your life in 2007?
My life in 2007, I was doing my second Edinburgh show. So yeah, I've been doing it a really long time.
iPhone 4 came out in 2012, I'm sure.
Okay.
So
we'll just go back. Yeah, just go back.
What do you think? 18 months? Every 18 months?
Every 18 months or so. So that would take us to around. That'd be about 6 years before then, wouldn't it? So 2006.
So we're thinking 6 or 7. Should we go? Should we?
Seven.
Go, should we? You're gonna go 7.
I was gonna say,
should we go 6? Because like, it might have launched, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't see him.
Yeah.
I'm willing to, whatever you guys think.
Should we go 2006?
Oh, I do think it's
7. In which case, I'm starting
to think it's 8. No. 2007.
8's too late, I think.
Okay, 2007, let's do that.
Final question of general knowledge. In cricket, what is the maximum amount of people allowed on the field at any one time during play?
Now, is he being a little bit funny here and including umpires?
Oh,
Bit cheeky. Yeah.
And also, there are circumstances in. I hate being the Asian guy coming out with all the cricket. So every time there's a cricket question, it's like, do you know?
Also, the fact he's put people and not players.
Because there are scenarios where you can have a runner.
Right.
If you're injured but you still want to bat, you can have someone do the running for you.
Yeah.
There was a Pakistani cricketer called Inzamam Al-Haq, who was never injured, but was just massive, just a big, fat guy. And he would just be like, can't run. So he'd always have a runner on, doing the runner, but just fucking thwack him out of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could he have got to the stage where he's like, you know what, I can't be asked to bat either.
Yeah.
He just sends out two of his mates. Like Mark Morrison doing community service, just sends out someone else and just, you do it as well.
Yeah. It
and
was a sort
paycheck.
Of.
And then since work from home has become a thing, he's just sat there on an iPad. It's just FaceTime.
I'll do it all remotely, yeah.
So there is a scenario where you've got two sets of 11 players, two umpires and 24. Both bats, and both batsmen have an additional runner, so you could have 26. But I just think that feels like I'm overthinking it.
No, I.
Let's put it 26. Because it feels like you've done the workings out.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I think I've done something really stupid.
What have you done? Wait, because we haven't got the answers yet.
But I have just clocked. I've just done 11 players on both teams on field, which wouldn't happen because one team would be batting. Oh. So you have 11 players plus the two batsmen.
You remembered him.
Which would be 13. And then your two umpires, 14, 15. And then your two runners, 17. Yeah.
So you can't have everyone else just sort of standing around on the edges going, go on, lads.
You can, but they're not on the ground.
They're not allowed on the field.
I think I was so shit at cricket as well. Yeah. I was so bad. I went to a cricket club, like my dad would make me go, I was aged like 11, 12, in an India shirt. And everyone at this cricket club was Pakistani. And for the white guys in the room, they don't get on. They do not get on.
Sure.
And I was just bullied. And they were just like, and I was like, Dad, can I just not wear the India shirt? And he was like, you've got to be proud of it. So I'd go there, and then like my only friend was the coach, which made them more annoyed. I was the shittest one there because like, my only friend was the coach. He would put me in like as captain, despite being markedly the worst one there. I was once in batting for the whole duration of a game, scored no runs. But they just couldn't get me out, but I scored no runs. And they've got these guys being like, just fucking get yourself out, we've got no runs on the board here. And I'm just like, and the coach's like, no, you stick to your ground. My dad's there like, show them. Oh my God,
so
horrific.
It was just really a lot of sort of slightly bigger men telling you what to do.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know where.
I don't know.
Yeah. When I played cricket at school, I mean, I hated all sports at school.
Yeah.
Just really, really hated it. So they explained, it was primary school as well, so like the last year of primary school, they said, okay, so the rule is if the things on the top of the sticks fall on the ground, then you're out. So we'd sat on the side for ages, which I loved.
Yeah.
That was the best bit.
That is the thing, you have said a few times. But when do the men sit on the side? Because
That's the bit I like. Sitting on the side, chatting to my friends, and then I walked up and I knocked them over myself and then walked back and sat down. And everyone was like, oh, I was like, what? That's the end of my go. My go's over, right? You can't make me. I've knocked him over. That's the rules, right? And they're like, yeah, it is the rules. Well, there we go. They stick to the rules. And they're like, yeah, but we didn't score any points. It's like, I don't want to score any points. I don't understand why you're so fascinated by. And also, if you want to score points, why have you asked me to do it? How many points do you think you're honestly going to get with me playing properly? One or two? Just accept this.
All of them biting their tongue saying, stop saying points, it's runs. Are you all right? Genuinely, sitting on the side in cricket is the best bit.
I've heard it's a really... I don't know anything really about cricket, but I've heard it's a really good day out to go and watch. You just sat in the sun all day, a few ciders,
a few drinks.
Of a picnic.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. I've heard it's lovely. Maybe I should get into it. So, well, you remember that in the nick of time because I was just about to turn the page, which is... our definition of locking in. So, turning the page.
That's very accidentally Partridge, isn't it?
Right, are we happy to do the answers now?
Okay,
right.
The page has been turned.
This is it. It's locked in. I think we could have a 5 out of 5 here.
Yeah, it's quite exciting when we are in a position where on an episode we can get 5 out of 5 on a round.
So you're saying that the aim of the game is to get all the points. Am I using points in the correct way there? Yeah.
So, collective noun for a group of owls. Parliament.
In.
Yes.
Get in.
5 New York boroughs. Do you want to read out what we put, Jake? And I'll take them off.
I'll go in order of, I think, what we were most sure of. We very quickly said the Bronx.
We said Queens.
We said Queens
Bronx
and
Bronx is in there.
We
Brooklyn.
Said Queens.
Queens
Brooklyn.
Is in there. Yeah.
We said Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then we were going to say New Jersey. But we changed it to Staten Island.
Correct.
Get in.
Oh,
well get in.
Well done.
The name of the first dog in space, Leica.
Leica, the first.
Great
dog
bit
in space,
of knowledge.
Yeah.
In which year was the first iPhone launched? Now this is one we were teetering with, wasn't it? 2007.
We went back. That's my fault. That's my fault. That's absolutely my fault. There.
Started clapping
because. Yeah, we were slow clapping. Yeah. So to be fair.
Yeah. So that's the 5 out of 5 out the window.
That's gone.
Oh,
down with
Swanee. No, Liam.
And then in cricket, what is the maximum amount of people allowed on the field at any one time during play? You just remembered in the nick of time that not both teams.
Yeah, but
are
does
always...
this runners? Does this like weird
the answer
thing?
Is,
runners count.
We said 17. The answer.
Yep.
17.
Really?
Oh,
well done.
Well done, Jake.
Do you know what? I blame myself for the iPhone because I was the one who said, maybe let's go back a year because. They probably did a launch. in America.
I was willing to go up to 2008, 2009. So
I think you're going to be blamed anyway because your name is Bequistine.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
So round two in Tim's quiz, which Tim, I'm enjoying it so far. I really am.
Yeah, really good.
Look, it's one of those things, Tim, where if we had failed to identify this sort of weird quirk with the cricket thing, I'd be saying you're a trickster, you're a fraudster, you're deceitful, and I hate you. Yeah. The fact we have got it, I think you're clever. I think you're nuanced, and I think you've got a long quiz mastering career ahead of you.
That's going to be a fun bit when he explains it to the pub.
Yeah,
right? You know, when he's over the little tinny microphone, and everyone goes, "Oh, Tim, we're going to have to watch you."
He has done us there.
And also because it's his first one, no one knows his form. No one knows the kind of. There was a pub quiz.
His form,
but like people don't know who. Like,
yeah,
there's a guy
don't know what they're getting.
At university, there was. A guy in the local pub who ran a pub quiz, and after a few weeks you realised that often the answers were him, the answer would be that guy. So like he'd do like a who am I, I supported Van Morrison,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, right, Van Morrison, who supported Van Morrison, and you'd do like a load of things, and eventually we go, the answer was me, because I bought Van Morrison's records, and you're like, okay, well that's annoying, but we know for the future,
really,
if there's
annoying.
Ever a really odd question, you're like, well, how am I supposed to know who supported Van Morrison in 1973, it's probably him. So at least
that's
no one.
So arrogant, isn't it? That's so
it
arrogant.
Rewards loyalty.
It does.
It really rewards loyalty. Round two, entertainment. I think you're going to be quite good at this.
Hope so. I mean, that's the business I work
you're
in.
You're working show business, goddammit.
Yeah, I work in entertainment, so fingers crossed.
How are you feeling about entertainment, Liam?
Yeah, it depends.
It does depend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's like, you know, you don't want to say, oh, I'm really going to be hot on this.
Yeah.
And then all the questions are, I mean, I was going to say about like shows from the 1970s, but I would be quite good on that. But that's, but you know, like...
It's such a broad spectrum, isn't it?
It's such a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, you know? It could be about gaming.
Your idea of entertainment is Babe Station and Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else. Question number one. In which film does Jack Waltz come face to face with the head of Khartoum?
Jack Waltz. I don't know who Jack Waltz is.
I don't know who Jack Waltz is.
Face to face with the head of Khartoum.
That sounds a bit like it could be Indiana Jones or something
Egyptian-y,
like that.
It feels Egyptian. It feels like The Mummy.
Yeah.
Or something
yeah.
like this, doesn't it? It feels like.
Oh, Jack Waltz. Is Jack Waltz Brendan Fraser's character in The Mummy?
It's. I mean, if we're going to give it a sort of semi-educated guess, that would be where I'd go.
I think that's a really good
show.
Should
we go for The Mummy?
Yeah.
I think his name is Jack, actually, in The Mummy.
A movie from the Mummy franchise?
Yeah. If we just say The Mummy, we might get away with it.
Would he accept The Mummy Returns? let's not even mention
I'll tell you what he won't accept, The Scorpion King.
That's true. Well, no one should.
Question number two. Members of which band wrote the books The Dinosaur Who Pooped Christmas, Pooped a Rainbow, and Pooped a Princess?
It's good old Tom Fletcher from...
Yeah, it's McFly.
Oh, really?
McFly, yeah.
So it's the band they want, isn't it? So yeah, members of which band? Yeah.
Well, they wrote. Okay, great. Question number three: in Peep Show, which town does Superhands run to as a replacement for taking drugs? I think he accidentally runs to Windsor.
Yeah.
I think from my.
Because he phones him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He'll accidentally run to Windsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like being someone who like can like quote sitcoms. Yeah. I don't think it's cool. It's not, is it?
Well, it is in this instance.
In this instance.
In this instance, is that you found that you know what. It's all about context, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not on a first date.
But there's certain questions, Matthew, that like when you answer them, you feel quite like, yeah, I've got that. That's not one I feel like, oh, yeah.
You feel disappointed in yourself for knowing it.
No, despite like, look, I like Peep Show, I'm not ashamed of that, but to be able to sort of like...
It's just that, it's basically just
no
saying...
No specific quotes,
that's
I think
like
it's a bit...
100 hours of TV watching.
Yeah. It's only known from watching it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Question number four, the TV show The Bear is about which profession?
It's about running a little cafe, isn't it? It's about chefing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's about...
I've never heard of it. Just,
he opened with something that definitely wasn't a profession.
Running a little cafe, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I bet you we can walk around...
Sorry, on the drop-down box of the government census.
We can
policeman, nurse, running a little cafe.
Are you saying running a little cafe?
It's a profession, but I would say restaurateur.
Chef. If you want to big it up.
Yeah, if you want to blow smoke up us. But really, Gordon Ramsay, he runs a little
cafe.
That's what he does. He's got a little restaurant. Lovely. Jamie Lovett loves a lovely little restaurant.
How's your little restaurant then going, Gordon?
Yeah.
Not well, I don't think, actually.
So which profession is that?
All
chefing.
Right, chef or the restaurant business.
Chef.
Can't have a one-word profession, this guy.
Well, you know.
The intro's gone to his head. It does too many different things. Question number five. Who wrote the novel Jurassic Park? Trick question. It's a film.
Yes, good point.
So do you think that's what Tim's
That's what he's doing, yeah. Trick question.
It wasn't a novel, was it?
It was a novel. It was Michael Crichton is the
author. Okay, fine. Thank you for humouring us.
Michael Crichton, turn the page. Lock it in. Turn it. Liam, turn the page.
It's locked in.
Okay, here we go.
Go on, Jake.
Question number... Do you know what? We're only unsure on one of these, right?
Yeah, don't do it.
So shall I go
order.
In reverse order?
Yeah, let's do it.
Question number five. Who wrote the novel Jurassic Park? It was Michael Crichton.
So it was originally a book, Jurassic Park?
Oh, yeah.
Question number four.
What were you going to write as the answer? Trick question. It's a film. So the answer
I
is
said
trick
it
question.
As a, it's a film. And then I thought maybe I have.
Maybe every final question. Yeah. Is a little
bit. Yeah. But I just love the idea of the answer being trick question. It's a film.
You're not going to believe this. Here we go. The TV show The Bear is about which profession? After berating Matthew Crosby, Tim's actually written chefing / restaurants.
I told you it wasn't one word. It's a complex show.
He's to be fair to him, hasn't put one word. Yeah. Question number three. In Peep Show, he accidentally runs to Windsor. Yeah. Number two, members of which band? Great knowledge, guys. McFly. And number one, Jack Waltz comes face to face with the head of the cartoon in The Godfather.
Ooh. That's a shame. That's a real shame. And Jack Waltz, is that the actor who plays the singer?
Jack Waltz, I think, is the character.
Oh, is he? I thought it was called, like, you know, Johnny Go Lightly or something like that. I thought he had a sort of cool, groovy name.
Well, one thing we have learned from doing this is that Fontaine's DC...
Oh, yeah.
...are named after the Fontaines, the band in The Godfather.
But they had to change it to DC for Dublin City.
Lovely.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You already knew
this
that.
This is Radio X. That is absolutely the sort of thing I would say... I will say after playing Fontaine's DC, and Ed will have a go at me for the rest of the link. Four straight minutes of telling me how fucking boring I am on live radio.
Let's have a break from the quizzing.
That's a great segue,
let's have a break from the quizzing and get into that, actually. How long have you been doing Radio X for?
6 years now.
6 years?
6 goddamn years.
And you know what? It's paid off. You're a natural broadcaster, aren't you?
Oh, thanks very much.
You've come in here. This episode has felt like the Rolls Royce of episodes.
Yeah.
It's felt very smooth.
Yeah.
Can't drive, so I don't know if they are smooth, but I think they are. It's just felt very, very, very lovely. Yeah, you're very good at it.
That's fantastic. I didn't drive here, by the way. That wasn't the parking I was asking for. Have you got on-street parking, and is it absolutely massive? No, I've driven in a Vauxhall Corsa. Because I do still work in radio. There's not a lot of money in it.
We were kidding a bit earlier, but you do have so many strings to your bow. How did comedy all start for you?
Well, it started in around the time when the iPhone came out. if I was going to put a year on it. It's just one of those things. You just always wanted to. I was just desperate to do it.
Mm.
I sort of watched telly all the time. That was all I did, was watch telly. And all I watched was comedy. And I was just obsessed with the idea of just being involved in it in some way. So I don't, that's what I like. Basically, the fact I've got so many jobs is because I ask everybody, can I be involved in that?
Yeah.
can I do a bit of podcasting? Can I be on your radio show? Can I come and write for your TV show? So I there's no bit of it I don't love. I find every bit of it really.
Is there one thing that you love more? Like, do you love doing a bit of acting more than you love presenting or writing or stand up or sketch?
I'm lucky enough to be whatever I'm doing that day is always great. Because it means I'm never doing the same thing. I've had jobs where you wake up at the same time every day and you go to the same place, and you know that's what a lot of people do. But mm-hmm. I love the fact that every morning I don't know what it's going to be. You know, I'm driving to Deptford today.
Yeah.
It's great. There's no bit of it I ever think. I mean, I think there's bits of it I'm better at. Like I've acted in things, and whenever I watch myself in anything I've acted in, have you acted in stuff? Obviously you've done your stuff on, you've both done your stuff online.
I started to do a little bit of stuff here and there. I recently did a Curry's advert with Dan Tiernan.
Oh yeah,
quite fun. I did like a little pilot for something with Danny Dyer was in it. That was quite exciting.
Oh, that's exciting.
But,
how was Dyer to work? Because I adore Danny Dyer.
He was great, man. He was so cool.
Yeah,
he was doing it for free. Just. It was a mate of a mate, so he just had this thing that was self-funding a pilot. And he turned up, was nice to everyone, chatted to everyone. We had a scene together in a pub, and we were sort of just necking a few pints together. Mm. And he was like, let me tell you this. Ollie Murs and Mark Wright, toxic.
I thought,
well, I could have told you that.
Beautiful.
And he is somebody who seems like he's done loads of different stuff, but every bit of it he really enjoys.
Yeah.
And you just go, it's a gift to be able to get to do this, you know,
it
to
really
be able to keep doing it for as long as I've been able to. And so, yeah, every bit of it's brilliant. But if I see myself acting, I always, like, people who can really act. If you act alongside people who can really act, Danny Dyer, as we well know, Harold Pinter's favourite actor. Mm. He's a genuinely brilliant actor. He's great. That's what makes him such a sort of, you know, such a compelling to watch. If I see myself acting alongside people who can genuinely act, I always go like, look at this. What you do with, you know, as soon as they say, okay, an action, you're sort of like, how do you move your arms when you're talking? You know, every bit of it, I feel like, I've acted alongside people who really know what they're doing.
Oh,
and you watch it back and you're like, just chill out, mate. It's okay, less is more.
And then you
watch something like Happy Valley, which you're like, that's gritty naturalism. And you watch it and they're doing almost nothing. That's what's so brilliant. But then you watch, I was doing a thing with Pappies. We were doing some little sketches for BBC Bite Sized. So you may have even watched them at school.
Really?
If you were studying for like The Crucible or Bloodborne or any of those, we did all the sketches that they played in classrooms, right? So it was us and the Birthday Girls. We had a really great time doing it. But the night before we did The Crucible, Tom watched Daniel Day-Lewis in The Crucible and was like, I'm just going to do nothing because he's so subtle. He's so small. And the director had to keep saying, would you mind just doing anything at all?
Because he would just be stood there like this.
And you're like, no. Yeah, that's all well and good. But, you know, you do have to sort of look as if someone's talking to you. It's just like just staring into space. So doing loads is way easier than doing almost nothing.
Yeah.
Because doing almost nothing requires you to actually sort of do something.
Matthew, where can people find you online and where can they hear your podcast?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram or Pappy's Comedy is where we put all our clips up. So you can, and then the podcast is Pappy's Flatshare and I'm on the radio on Sunday mornings, 8 till 11, but there's also a podcast of that as well, which you can get. They ask us to say you can get it through the Global Player. I'm assuming that's how you listen to all your podcasts, through the Global Player?
Through the Global Player, yeah.
Some people use this thing called Spotify.
No, thank you.
Only.
Trust in the Global Player.
Absolutely, yes. All hail the Global Player.
So round three from Tim. It was Tim, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tim. You said that like it might not be his real name.
Yeah,
Tim, apparently.
I got it wrong. Is food and drink.
Okay.
Quite nice.
Now, this is tricky, isn't it? Because obviously we've all consumed food and drink.
Yeah, big time. A couple of times.
But how much attention do you pay to it?
Are you a connoisseur of this stuff?
No, not really. Like, even with beer, like, I like beer, but I wouldn't call myself a connoisseur.
Just have the lager.
Yeah,
just have the cheapest lager.
The lager, yeah.
It's like people are into wine. I'm always really impressed because I just go, I just can't really tell.
Yeah.
I can tell if it's bad.
I can tell between red and white easy.
What about coffee?
No,
people smile over like the.
I can tell if coffee's like been burned, but then that's true of like most foods.
Yeah.
I can tell if it's got shit in it.
Yeah, easy.
I think it's got shit in it. Ooh, an educated palate.
Oh, a snob, I see.
So, food and drink from Tim. I feel like we've hit the post in rounds one and two, aren't we? 2-4 out of 5. So let's see if we can get it here.
Is 4 out of 5 not good? Is that not
good? No, it's like good. To get the 5 out of 5.
You want a 5.
We were a year out on the first one and then Gus got the film wrong. So question one, what does IPA stand for?
Oh, well, everyone knows this, right?
Yeah. India Pale Ale.
India Pale Ale.
Sorry, I took that from you there. You teed yourself up.
No, you know what? Because I literally said everyone knows it and you're part of everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't let anyone tell you differently.
Hence why everyone is in the team now. Question two. What animal is calamari made from?
One for you.
Hey.
Squid.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
There we go. Food of yours.
Some of the time. Have you heard the thing about bung?
Bung?
Fake calamari.
No.
Yeah, so there's like in certain restaurants they will serve bung, which is basically chopped up colon. It's got the same consistency.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That makes total sense now you've said it as well.
So yeah, if you think about,
it's got shit in it.
Sometimes you'll get it's really chewy squid we're eating here, but it's because it's bung.
But they advertise it as calamari.
Oh yeah. They say it's calamari.
I suppose because you're not set. Yeah.
You can't advertise it as old arseholes, can you?
Yeah.
Who wants it?
I think I've never seen bung on the menu.
Yeah.
Small plates, bung.
Instead of the chips, would I have a plate of deep fried arseholes next to it? Is that possible?
They've only got calamari, I want some bung.
Get the deep fried arseholes because you can't make it at home. Yeah. You know? You can make bolognese any day. Have the arseholes.
So far, so good. Question three. What is the name for a wine bottle that is the size of two standard bottles?
Magnum.
I was going to say it's a Magnum 2.
Because there's a Nebuchadnezzar as well, but that's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's like a Colossus.
I thought a Magnum was pretty big. But Magnum. I suppose two wine bottle sizes.
Yeah, I think Magnum is right.
I think it's Magnum. Yeah.
We're four. Racing through this, aren't we? I feel like this... No, do you know what? We said this last time.
I know.
If we get one question... I mean, we don't even know that we're right on this. If we get one that we're sort of vaguely confident of...
There's always a moment of just a... Maybe.
Yeah. Are we the three smartest men that ever lived? Yeah. I think
we
might be.
We are Matthew Quisby.
And also, we're waiting for that trick one, which has been in the last two rounds. Yeah. So, question four. What type of nut is marzipan made from?
Almond?
These
nuts. That's out the way, and the answer is almonds.
Okay, I'm glad that's out the way.
Can we just get that out of the way?
Can we? Can you assure us it's out the way? Because I feel like
if anything, we're still lingering.
Yeah,
on it.
I feel like if anything now, there's a sort of fug in the
it's
air.
Left, it's left a bad taste in the mouth.
There's some bit of a bung in there.
It is backy as well. Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
The problem.
Question number five.
Okay,
this must be the trick one. What type of flower does vanilla come from?
Now, this feels like a sort of thing you'll know.
Well, no, because I would say vanilla comes from vanilla pods, which I'm assuming come from vanilla flowers. Yeah. But that can't be the answer.
No.
Orchid.
No, that's opium.
Is it really?
No. Oh, wait, it's poppies that you get heroin from, isn't it?
I really think
is it?
But orchids, you think, have vanilla pods in them.
I don't know where I've heard this from, but I really think it is.
Pod, but yeah, what would be the flower on it?
Do you feel like... It feels like if you were... If it were coming from a particular flower that wasn't the vanilla pod, that you'd see them on the front of ice cream tubs?
I feel like you do a bit. I actually feel you do. It's like a white flower, but maybe that...
Yeah.
I'm sure like that does...
I would... If you guys weren't here, which you are, and I'm happy about that, I would put orchid.
Should we go orchid?
But listen, I feel...
I haven't got an alternative answer.
Yeah, I haven't. I've not got any advantage.
It's the first time I've had a negative energy from Crosby all afternoon.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because I've been finding daggers all the entire course. So something's off with me.
But the thing is, I have nothing to back it up with. So if I was in your position, I would also be like... Look,
but something with nothing behind it. We've got nothing with nothing behind it. So we've got to go with the something with nothing behind it. I think we've got to go
for it. And if it's wrong, there's no blame.
Okay.
There is no blame.
Yeah. And we're just for the completion of thought... A vanilla pod in itself cannot that is not a flower, is it?
I don't think so, no. And also I think that would be too obvious to be the answer. Oh, I think there is a flower. What is the flower?
This is the genius of Tim. He's done just enough trickery peppered throughout that we're not just like... Because there are quizzes in the past where the whole thing is like, well, I feel completely uneasy. It's just a little sprinkle of doubt that he's put in. I think very well done, Tim.
I think the residents of Salcombe are in for a treat.
They are. Yeah. There's nothing vanilla about their evening out. Say that for sure.
So we're going orchid.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the answers.
Okay, here we go.
What does IPA stand for? Indian Pale Ale, we knew that. What animal is calamari made from? Squid, we knew that.
Nice.
What is the name for... Oh, we weren't actually total on this, were we? What is the name for a wine bottle that is the size of two standard bottles?
We said Magnum.
It is Magnum.
Oh, get in. Good for that.
Question four. What type of nut is marzipan made from? Almond. We knew that. So this
is it. Did you say almond?
Yeah, I got that as well, yeah. Almond.
Is that a different thing altogether?
I say almond.
I say almond as well,
Oh, you say almond? I think we've got three things going on.
Oh, really?
You're really hitting every letter. Almond.
Yeah.
Almond.
I'm saying almond.
Almond.
So basically AR, and you're saying almond.
Yeah, almond.
As in like Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Yeah, you are saying almond. You know Mark Almond?
Yeah.
From
Mark Almond.
Mark Almond. Almond.
Well, I'd say Mark Almond, but you say Mark Almond.
Yeah, from what was that band?
Soft Cell.
Soft Cell.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a stomach ache and he went to the doctor.
This, by the way, I can't believe you're telling this. Like, this is fact of the day.
He had a stomach. He went to the doctors. They found a gallon of cum.
No, they didn't. They opened him up. He was like a chicken Kiev. Yeah. No, that's not. That is, by the way, is. That is that's up there with like Prince.
It's like a big cream egg.
Prince having a rib removed. It's that.
Guys, it was a gallon of cum.
Absolutely right. I'll tell you now. There've been so many celebrities that's been attached to.
Lady Gaga.
Gallon of cum. Rod Stewart. Ross Stewart, that's what people, yeah, but like loads of people have been like, who's a bit pervy?
Yeah.
It's like, so much cum.
Yes, because it's, I'll tell you why, because it's not true. We know
a gallon.
Cum is 10 cc, that's why the band's called 10 cc. It's like a teaspoon, isn't it, they say? They were saying it's like a teaspoon, that was in sex education, they say, it's a teaspoon like sized amount. And you're like, who's jizzing into teaspoons? Let's not.
Yeah.
Can you not just look at it and go, it's a small amount,
yeah,
rather than bringing cookery into it?
Who's jizzing into teaspoons? One kid at the back. I don't know. That's weird.
It's strange.
But it's like the celebrity getting the rib removed so they can suck their own dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It never happened, but loads of people.
Who was it? Who was it?
A gallon of cum.
Who?
It's not Mark Almond. Almond.
Mark Almond and Lady Gaga.
Mark Holman from...
Both on separate occasions. And that in total is 2 gallons of cum.
That's Jake's fact of the day.
Yeah.
That's Jake, just to kick things off. Imagine if that was my fact.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, right? Didn't hear it from me. He had an absolute... Honestly, a gallon of Harry inside him. Unbelievable.
Gallon of Harry!
Unbelievable.
Never heard Harry.
Never heard Harry Monk before.
The doctor,
you're ever gonna if you're going to plot a turning point when this all went off the rails, it was D's Nuts. Come on.
D's Nuts,
unfortunately, D's Nuts gave you the permission to tell your rude anecdote that didn't happen.
No, it was hearing Almond, I thought, I'm in.
Yeah, but I think if Almond had happened without D's Nuts, so it's the question.
It's all marzipan,
But anyway, yes, Mark Almond.
What type of flower does vanilla come from? This is from the 5 out of 5. We said
orchid.
You said orchid. Yeah.
Orchid.
Is it really?
Oh,
yeah.
Five out of five.
Oh
my God, 5 out of 5.
Jake. Oh my God.
Well done, mate.
Oh God.
And if only we trusted you with the iPhone as well. Could have been 5 out of 5 for the first one as well.
Yeah. Well, I trusted you with the iPhone. I mean, but either way.
So that takes us to...
Well, that feels good, doesn't it, to get 5 out of 5?
Yeah. That was good, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I think there was a bit of, more than any other guest, a little bit of pressure on you to get one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Driving here, smart, on the waters. we're here to answer a quiz.
We're not here to mess around, are we?
I don't care that we're in a pub. I'm just care that it's parking, all right? Doing a quiz. And we've excelled. As a team, we have excelled. 13 out of 15. Should we do a bit of a review of Tim's quiz?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think, we've got some criteria that we sort of rate the quizzes on.
Number one is question marks. How's he done his question marks? He's failed on that.
He's just given us 15 statements.
So in terms of playability out of 10, what would you give Tim's quiz?
I thought it was very playable. It led to a lot of good chats.
It really did.
It wasn't, I think if we'd got 15 out of 15, that would be way too easy, right?
I think we've talked about everything from geography to music to science today. It feels
to absolutely bogus things that never happened.
We've got through a gallon of cum.
We've got through a gallon of Harry.
We've got through a gallon of cum. Oh, shit, you've got through a gallon of
cum. Is that a gallon?
Is that a gallon?
On the dot. I love after a gallon of Harry, it was just, got a bit of a stomach.
I literally can't explain why. What have you been doing? Mom, don't worry about that. I can't explain why I've got this bellyache.
I couldn't have a teaspoon more.
Yeah.
I don't think if they're pumping someone's stomach, they sort of measure it, do they? If you're having your stomach pumps, if you're having the charcoal and all that going down, they're not going, hang on a sec, we can get more out of this.
Scalpel.
Come on, I reckon.
Yeah. Measuring jug. Yeah.
Come on again.
I tell you what, just weigh that.
Yeah, just because that.
This is quite impressive.
Just for us. Yeah. Just for the room. Tim, let's find if that's a gallon.
Tim, I'm so sorry that your quiz has become so cummy towards the end.
Yeah.
It's my fault. Yeah. But,
Take it round to the fertility clinic.
Range of questions out of 10.
So what do we have? We had general knowledge. Yeah. We had entertainment. We had food and drink. Do you know what? There was a nice variety, but there was nothing there that was so niche that it would make you worried if you heard it. you know. If it was like, you know, if one of them was like Guatemalan culture, you could see a pub quiz team going, don't know anything about that. Whereas entertainment, nice and broad. Food and drink, nice and broad. General knowledge, obviously, could be more broad. So I feel like that's good. And the questions within them seem pretty broad.
And finally, good vibes. Just general experience of the whole podcast. It includes the quiz. That includes our producers. It includes the quality of the water, the location, our company, everything out of 10.
Every bit of it, 10 out of 10.
Fantastic. Oh, lovely. Well, you have been a 10 out of 10 guest, Matthew Crosby.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a coup for our podcast getting
really
you on this.
Massive.
It really has.
Radio X is the coolest radio station. It is the cool one, isn't
it? That's
true. That's sort of like the cool.
I think that is universally agreed
amongst
the
anyone I listen to.
Amongst dads.
I'm a global player. of course. I'll tell you who else has been a 10 out of 10. Tim from Masalcombe Brewery Tap House in South Devon. And Tim, do let us know when you
Good
are
luck.
Running your quiz and we will let people know.
Good luck.
I think you're well equipped to be a great quiz master. And that's from all of us here in Matthew Quiz.
Bye-bye.
Bye.